You're listening to the Getting Smart podcast. I'm Rebecca Middles. Today, we are contemplating the implementation of developmental level progressions within learning systems that operate at a different grain size from standards and are typically independent of specific contexts or curricula. Some might consider this the purest form of competency-based learning. Such a framework requires a shift in reporting and assessment practices and rightly emphasizes personalized instruction and support. I'm excited to be joined by Sydney Schiff, Managing Director at Redesign, a nationally recognized women-led education design lab committed to ensuring every young person is future-ready. We are having this conversation to help our audience find access points to these thoughts that we shared and competencies in which Sydney led the development and design. Sydney, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rebecca. It's great to be here.
You recently released 9 competencies, 34 skills, across a 6-level designed progression. I've been waiting for these to come out. I'm so excited. How did these competencies compare to other competency frameworks? And what would you say are the differences between these progressions and, say, what people might refer to as rubrics?
The Future 9 competencies represent 9 essential skill sets that we believe are the skill sets that are most important for preparing young people, not only to navigate, but to help shape our future world. I think one of the first things that distinguishes this framework from others is that we're putting a stake in the ground on how to define future readiness. That's the claim here, based on quite extensive research and engagement with many, many stakeholders over the years. These have been developed after over a decade of working alongside school, district, and state partners who have been trying to articulate their vision for learners and develop actionable tools for knowing where learners are on that journey. And so for years, we've been doing this research, engaging with diverse stakeholder groups, crafting competencies, developing skill-based progressions, and also putting them into use alongside teachers and refining them with feedback over time. So after many years of work alongside practitioners, we've decided, hey, there's a lot we've learned through these journeys with educators. Let's pull it all together as a synthesis of our latest and best thinking and share it as a contribution, not as a perfect framework, but as one that folks can use that is grounded in a lot of learning and research. And will hopefully help folks kind of leapfrog over the really intensive and costly build of competency frameworks. We've also noticed that there's a bit of convergence as we've worked across various contexts for people trying to articulate their vision for learners. There are these commonalities that have emerged, and those are reflected in the Future 9 competencies.
I think that when we say framework, sometimes people don't understand that piece. And you guys are so known for really doing true progressions. So if we could share a little bit about how those are.
Yeah, absolutely. So oftentimes folks come to us, and I'm a pilot's daughter, so I like the kind of flight metaphor, with this big picture vision, 30,000 feet in the air. We want critical thinkers. We want collaborators. We want creative problem solvers. And we love those visions for learners, and we believe in them. And in fact, when we look at what are some of the essential skill sets for young people to navigate our future world, we believe those things are true, and we believe that the research sort of bears out. But how do you define those? And how do you build usable tools for developing those skills in young people? And so that's important to us, that the framework is not just statements, vision statements, but practical, actionable resources for learning and assessment. And that's, I think, a key aspect of this framework, is that it includes the skill progression. So let's start by just defining our terms. When we say skill progression, I would say we are describing sort of a sequence of developmental stages that build toward a learning outcome. I think a rubric is typically defined as a tool for evaluation or assessment. So the Future 9 competencies, each competency is made up of 3 to 6 key skills, And then each of those skills has a skill progression that defines those developmental stages from early learner to sort of professional. They're not tied to grade levels. They're intended to reflect what we know from the research and from our own user testing on how learners develop these skills at higher levels of sophistication. So that's what we've attempted to do. In this framework, we've drawn on all of that learning and field testing work and built out these skill progressions, different but related to rubrics. And in fact, you know, this is another big question folks come to us with, which was, how do we assess these competencies? And we've intentionally used a set of design principles to build these skill progressions so that they are useful for assessment, but it's really assessment for learning, not so much assessment to assign a grade and evaluate young people. So you'll find in these skill progressions, you'll see language that is student-facing. So we use I can statements. You will note that the language is all strengths-based. It's describing what is present, what is observable, what the learner can do, and that we care very much that there's a real robust sort of coherence across these six developmental levels, that each one builds directly on the other, such that for a single assessment, let's say you're implementing performance tasks as a way for young people to learn and practice and demonstrate these skills, they're built in a way that the same assessment that multiple learners at different levels in their learning, you could use that same developmental language to assess where they are, to locate where they are. This is different from traditional rubrics that typically follow the model of proficiency scales. You know, we have a standard and we're going to articulate what it means to meet that standard and then what it means to not meet that standard and what it means to really not meet that standard and then to exceed it, right? Your 4-point scale. So that's not what this is. This is not evaluating against a rubric. It's providing clear, stable, observable language for skill development. And the purpose of these skill progressions is to serve as a backbone for learning and assessment. So, hey, I'm trying to plan a unit of study or a project. Which competency am I working to support learners in developing? I'm developing learning targets for my upcoming lessons or learning experiences. What are the specific skills that can make the goal for learning in that learning experience transparent and clear for learners? Or I'm building rubrics, and this is, I think, where we depart from a standards-based approach, one of the ways we depart from a standards-based approach. Instead of building a rubric that is evaluative in nature and intended to just assign a grade or a numerical score, we can use the language of these progressions to build competency-based rubrics, right? Which is just to grab a few levels that represent your learners' ranges and give them the language to see where they are in the progression. And it all will tie back to this larger developmental journey toward future readiness. That's the idea behind the skill progressions in the Future 9 competencies.
And this is why I always love sharing your work and interacting with you guys as an organization. So much of what you shared, I know that we have shared beliefs on it. And so it's wonderful to hear you clearly articulate that for us. So often in this work about competency-based learning, we will hear in the field, and you touched on this, so I'm just going to have you circle back a little bit more, questions about, well, how do I do all of these? How do I do these competencies plus the standards I have to do? Or how do I do all these competencies plus the curriculum I have to do that they're already teaching? And that's a fair question, if not fully understood, about what you just explained. How do you respond to this, and how does this support educators in what you referenced just now, measuring and supporting meaningful learning experiences? And I think you could probably include student agency since you went there.
Okay. So I think first of all, I'd like to start with one of the drivers for putting this framework, these Future 9 competencies out into the field to begin with, which is, it was our attempt, that we're calling them the Future 9. We're using a number on purpose. Are we clear in the field on what the most important skill sets are to prepare young people for the future? There's consensus that we care about this, but we're struggling to get to real consensus about what those are. And yet there are all these signals in the field that the standard frameworks that we're using are not quite working as well as we as we had hoped that they would. And here's a, here's one of those signals that we see often, but very much at the school level and sometimes even at the district level. Have you heard the term power standards? Power standards, right, is just code for there are too many of these things, right? And they're not all of equal importance. Educators are already making determinations about how to prioritize the learning that matters most inside the kind of standards-based world that we live in. So there's already evidence, right, in the field that what we're currently using, there's something not quite working right about those. What if we sort of stepped back and said, okay, we're prioritizing standards. That means we're asking the question, well, what is the most important stuff for young people to learn? The Future 9 competencies are a bit of an offering of here are a defined set of transferable skills. So if you were to unpack standards and say, what are those things that learners are actually doing across these disciplinary contexts, but they're buried in standards and grade levels? What if we pulled those out and said, you know what, young people are learning to read critically. They're learning to engage in an inquiry process. They're learning to express ideas with clarity and persuasiveness. They are learning to design solutions. We have these grouped in disciplinary areas right now, but what if we zoomed out and said, these are really important across contexts? So not only that we're putting a stake in the ground to say, these are really important transferable skills, and by the way, not just for school, not just for lifelong learning, but for the future of work and living in community. The other thing I'll say about the kind of challenges of working with existing standards is that many teachers are recognizing that they're not the whole picture. Parents and families are recognizing these are not the whole picture. There are things that young people need to learn to support their well-being, to support their ability to work well with others that are not currently reflected in academic standards. And so the Future 9 competencies were also designed to speak to those needs that are unmet in standards. Needs like, how do we help learners develop the skills to navigate conflict, to sustain wellness for themselves inside of a community, to build community? Those are some of the needs that the Future 9 competencies are intended to meet. And so I would say if you're currently working with standards and you're asking yourself, what are the most important standards to teach? You're already there. You're already trying to tease out sort of the most important skills and knowledge. My belief is that the Future 9 competencies will be kind of an accelerated way to find those bigger picture transferable skills that you're trying to prioritize, and then have a more user-friendly set of skill progressions to help you design learning and assess learning. It unpacks for learners how you frame a question for research. It unpacks for learners how you build a plan for that investigation. It unpacks for learners methods and tools and best practices for gathering data and analyzing it, and how to share your findings. And so what was unlocked for teachers is, okay, I know that I'm responsible for teaching these standards about leading scientific investigations, and I know there are topics I'm supposed to cover, and I know when I'm supposed to cover them. Now, if I can use these competencies, these skill progressions for the competencies that are already embedded in the standards, but not explicated, not unpacked. Now I have clarity about the actual skills that the standard is pointing to, and stable research-informed language for helping my learners develop those skills as they move through their K-12 journey. So that's one example of how these skill progressions can support teachers, can help bring clarity to what the developmental journey looks like, and have ready to grab, you know, kind of indicators for learning targets, for rubrics, for student self-assessment tools. I mean, there are all kinds of ways you can use the language from the framework to support learning and assessment, but it's doing something quite different than standards.
That was great. Thank you for giving so many great examples. I feel like you've also invited me to go just a little to my nerdy competency self and share some things that I enjoyed finding across your Future 9. I noticed a few distinct items that sometimes other frameworks will isolate, and list separately and then say put them together. But intentionally, I feel like there was a decision that I'd love you to share more about where I saw things like feedback and questioning, as you just mentioned, and reflection show up across the competencies and the skill sets. Can you tell us more about the decision you made around that design choice? I found that really interesting, and it was fun to see, and I really appreciated that intent.
Well, let me start by saying that we took a particular approach to defining the competencies in the first place that sort of echoes your question around why are these things kind of sprinkled throughout? I think, you know, the short answer is to provide meaningful, useful, authentic articulations of how these skills develop. And those elements are just embedded in how you develop those skills. So to make them usable and to be true to the research and to what we know about learning, we felt the best design move was to embed them. This is reflected also in the way we approach defining these competencies. And again, speaks to a need in the field. Often our visions for learners, our profile of the graduates, again, live in this sort of 30,000 foot vision, critical thinking, creativity. When we did the research on some of those skills, it became very clear there's no one rubric for critical thinking. There's no one rubric for creativity. So instead of defining a competency as critical thinking, we said, well, what are all the authentic and really important times where these contexts in which these skills get developed? You know, critical thinking is, it can be as, you know, broad and nuanced as, you know, coming up with an argument and developing claims and substantiating those, to engaging in a conversation and posing a probing question that challenges, like, it just, there's such a range. So instead of competencies like critical thinking and creativity that are, we'll say, more conceptual, we've defined competencies that we feel are very concrete and practical. The outcomes that we want to see young people develop in service of supporting them on their journey toward future readiness. And I've named some of those examples. You know, read the world, express ideas, learn interdependently, build community. As best we can, we wanted to provide language about how those skills develop that reflect what is true and essential to developing those skills. So embedded in Read the World, you'll see a whole skill progression on engaging and critiquing perspectives. That's a context in which critical thinking is built. When you're designing solutions, you're setting criteria, understanding your parameters for design, using diverse user feedback, that's part of critical thinking to support decision-making and designing solutions. When you're navigating conflict, we've built into the skill progressions language that helps you sort of relativize your own experience and understand, I've got to see this from another point of view, right? I've got to understand the other things at play in this conflict, for example. So critical thinking, as an example, or to your point, reflection, or using feedback to improve. We've embedded those because those are really the sort of supportive elements or conditions for skill development.
Yeah, I love that you highlighted some. I'm just going to say that the choice of sustain wellness, appreciated, loved. Also, I think you hit on it, design solutions. People know I love solutionaries. That was really well done design thinking piece. I'm really excited for our listeners to jump in and look at those and to see the skill of being able to communicate used in different ways, expressing ideas, how to build community. You're going to see what you just said, instead of it being isolated, but really being strategic and thoughtful about the actual skill in efforts of reaching that outcome of what your competency highlights. So I appreciate that's really been intentional. And I know you've taken your time to make sure these were done well and reflected the work of so many people that you've partnered with in gathering that insight. So I appreciate all that work you did to get diverse voices at the table as well. As people are able to access, and we'll share in just a second where they can access that, if they look at these competencies and they want to start using them, classroom, school, district, maybe as an organization, maybe for credentialing, whatever it might be that they look at, is there some way that you guys are thinking about a network of sorts around these for people to stay connected? And if so, what would that look like at this stage? And maybe that's developing.
Yes, absolutely. First and foremost, if you're interested in checking out the Future 9 competencies, you can go to redesignu.org/future9. And they are free and available to you right now. You can download the framework. There's the actual publication in PDF format. But once you download that, if you get into the PDF, there's a link to an editable slide deck version. So you can go get your Google Slide copy and start hacking away. These are for everyone. Whoever is interested in, either tinkering with them in your classrooms or bringing them to your community and saying, hey, we're trying to build our, profile of a graduate or our vision for all learners. Here's a framework we could use maybe to spark inspiration. Which of these resonate with us? Which of these might we want to adopt or adapt? They truly are an open source available framework. So go check them out, first of all. Secondly, at Redesign, as I mentioned, this was born out of years of work alongside practitioners. We've been building tools to support implementation and sort of gathering insights on kind of lessons learned, pitfalls to avoid, strategies for implementation. So we're in the process of sort of codifying that and sharing out resources specifically for the Future 9 competencies. If you'd like to use these in any way, there'll be a set of supportive resources and learning experiences forthcoming, whether you're a classroom teacher or a system leader and you want to do something with these. So resources are on the way. We are absolutely thinking about ways that, we've shared them now. We're really eager to hear what people think. Actually, before we released them, we did both an internal final critical review and then an external review where we had young people look at these. We had academics, researchers, industry leaders. We said, give us your toughest feedback. We want to make these progressions strong. Do these reflect worthwhile skills? Do these feel relevant to future readiness? Please check for bias and representation. We had so much wonderful feedback, and we've incorporated all of that. We went through a very deep revision process. It was pretty cool. We heard from young people, some of these competencies are not only really important to the young people we spoke to, but hardly taught. 100% of the young people we said, build community is really important to us, and it's hardly explicitly taught. Sustain wellness was another one that young people said, we are so excited to see this in the framework. We had one industry leader say, every company I work with is asking for a well-rounded workforce who are able to flexibly adapt and grow as technology and the world changes. This is it. You've articulated what we've been trying so hard to capture. Another one of our reviewers said, during my first read of this framework, I kept thinking what a difference we would see in the world if every teacher, student, and caregiver had an understanding of these competencies. So we went through this intensive review process right at the end, did deep revision, so excited to get them out. Now we're excited for more feedback, and we're excited to hear if folks want to use these. So we've established a user feedback group. Generally for Redesign's work, we are excited to get input from people, but we're inviting people to join us who are interested in implementing these competencies or adapting them for their particular context. So while we're still in the early stages of sorting that out, we first want to see, what do we hear from folks now that these are out in the world? But we're eager to hear from folks, and we're very eager to organize in whatever way we can, supports for folks, whether you're a classroom teacher or a district leader, ready to take these on and maybe adapt them for your particular context. The process of designing competencies and building these progressions is really intensive. Often folks have taken a first pass and realized this is really technical writing. We don't have the bandwidth. And that's often where we can help, but it's really intense work. And so we're excited to put these out into the world and hopefully help save time and effort for people and give them a research-informed, field-tested, pretty strong place to start, we hope.
Wonderful. I know when they sign up to see these, they can give an email. So that's one way. I'm sure you'll be grabbing the network and more to come is what I hear you to say. More tools and resources, which is exciting to come. And so getting that resource and giving your email puts you in a opportunity to hear more about that as that progresses.
We want to hear from folks, and we will make sure to send out these, you know, these resources that are coming and opportunities to connect around the work after folks sign up and download the framework.
Well, thank you so much. We will, when this is posted, we'll have other resources for you to go to, more to come, and hopefully we will stay in touch with Redesign to keep listeners updated as well. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sydney.
Thanks for tuning in to the Getting Smart podcast today. We want this podcast to be actionable, insightful, and a great way to learn about what's next in learning. In order to stay on the cutting edge, we need people in the field to tell us what they're hearing, what they're wanting, and what they're needing to learn more about. Got a topic or a guest in mind? Send your recommendations to me, Mason@gettingsmart.com. And if you like what you're hearing, don't forget to leave a review in Apple Podcasts or subscribe wherever you listen. Feel free to share the podcast on social media using the hashtag GSPodcasts. Thanks so much.